Matthew chapter 16. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to begin to read from verse 11. Matthew 11 and verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he is the least in the kingdom of heaven. Is greater than he. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Matthew chapter 16, in verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. By the grace of God today, I want to preach soldiers of the cross. Hallelujah. Soldiers of the cross. Heavenly Father, precious Lord, we thank you for the invitation to your presence that you've given us today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God today. We thank you, Lamb of God, today for a born again experience of being washed through the power of your blood through Jesus' name baptism. We thank you, Lord God, for the infilling of the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord God, that your perfect and holy will would be established within us and for us today. And Lamb of God, we'll give you glory. We'll honor your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. You may be seated. Soldiers of the cross. I don't really know if we can actually say that John the Baptist was a soldier of the cross, but we know for one thing, for a fact, that John the Baptist was a soldier before the cross. In other words, he wasn't a soldier from the manifestation of the blood that Jesus died for on the cross. He wasn't a manifestation of that, but he was a forerunner. He came before the Lord. And of course we see that in the wording of Jesus that the Lord had some very choice and encouraging words about John the Baptist. He was very plain and very respectful towards the ministry of John the Baptist, because the ministry of John the Baptist meant a lot to his ministry. It meant a lot to his ministry Because John the Baptist was the radical of his day. Hallelujah. He was the radical of his day. We live in a day today that radicalism is not a welcome idea. Even the word radical today is a bad word to our society. When people deal with the word radical, the first thing they attach to radical is fear of the unknown. What's their motive? What's their victim? What's their desire? And they also attach to it, what is their reasoning? What reason do we have to be radical today? Why we just can't be plain, simple people? Because that's what the secular world wants us to be. The secular world wants us to be just plain, simple folks. They don't want the church to have any radicalism. They don't want the church to step out and be different than what they expect the church to be. That's not the world we live in today. The world that we live in today wants a traditional, dressed up religious society that bows to their political views. We've got a pretty mixed up society and a pretty mixed up world. And so since we have a pretty mixed up society and a pretty mixed up world, God has to do something very unique and allow very unique things in order to get the world's attention. And of course, if we pointed our finger at some of those things that we believed that the Lord was doing in order to get man's attention, or even to get just America's attention, we would automatically be put in the category of being radical. Some of you in here have fear of being put in the category of radical. It might jeopardize your career. Am I right? It might jeopardize your career if you got put over into the position of being radical. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes us that are born again really don't understand what the Lord has actually called us to. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was pretty radical in that day. And the Bible shows us and tells us that not only did he, that's what, that he shouted this. He came out of the wilderness shouting, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand." And for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment as camel hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. He was a pretty radical guy. That was pretty radical. He not only dressed differently, he ate differently. But he came out of the wilderness with a message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why did he come with a radical approach? He came with a radical approach because he had a radical message, because that was the only thing that could get the attention of the Israelites at that particular time. And so he had to come forth with a radical motion, with a radical message, with a radical approach, because the object was to get the attention of Israel at that particular time. And so he came out shouting out of the wilderness, empowered by the power of God, and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I believe he got a lot of people's attention. In fact, he got so many people's attention that he literally upset Herod. He upset Herod so much that Herod actually put him to death. He got Herod's attention. Because a radical message gets the attention of people, whether they care for it or not. But of course, naturally, we live in a time and in a place that even sometimes the church doesn't want to be labeled as being radical. We don't want to have that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. See, I don't care what the world thinks. I don't care how the world feels about me. I don't care whether the world wants to hire or fire me because of what I believe and what I think. I really don't care. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. I want to be saved. I think sometimes we have to it's the object of, what do you want? Do you want this world, or do you want to be saved? What is your desire? In other words, how long is the church going to be caught between two opinions? Do I make sense? How long is the church going to be caught between two opinions? I believe that God has not raptured the church. One reason is because the church is caught between two opinions. I also believe the other reason why the Lord has not raptured the church is because there's still people here that need to be saved. But is the church radical enough to go out in the midst of the wilderness and tell people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand? Is the church radical enough to do that? Or maybe we're just afraid we might lose our job. Are we radical enough? Are we radical enough in to actually, I had a woman come to me yesterday, and I was working in that little shopette and things I work in. And of course, she was asking me and her husband play a lot of racquetball together, I'm still sponsored with them, she was asking me that, telling me, say, listen, I have a bad problem with my heart, and I'm going to go in for surgery. I want your church to pray for me. I said, we will pray. I didn't mention her name today. I forgot. I meant to mention her name today. She's not going in yet, but it's going to be a while. And as she was telling me the different things, and of course she had knew the problems that I had before, years back, because she'd known me for some time. And then right there, I began to tell her, sometimes when people ask you to pray for them, they just want someone that they want you to pray for because they know you go to church. You know, they know you really go to church and you really believe in God, so they just really want you to pray. So I start, you know, so me and her started talking a little bit more, and then she remembered the time when I had diabetes. And I said, oh yeah. She said, I said, I haven't shot insulin in over 2 years. She looked at me. She said, what? I said, no, I haven't shot insulin or took any pills in over 2 years, and my sugar is normal. She said, what? What? I said, yes, my sugar level is normal. I said, that's the type of God that I serve. That's the type of God that I serve. Is that radical? That's the type of God that I serve. And I said, you remember when I was going in for supposed to have dialysis and be on a machine? She said, I said, I'm not on Emma. She said, no. I said, that's the type of God that I serve. That's pretty radical to our society. But you know what? That's what they need to hear. They need to hear that we serve a God that has power, that has authority. He didn't see, you know what? People are like this. People say, well, you know, God created the world. And he did this, he did that, and he did all these things he did. You know, he created it. Well, if God created it, if he created the world, he can save the world. He can heal the world. He can change the world. If he created it. If you really believe he created it. So in other words, I'm looking at her, and I'm looking her straight in the face, and I'm letting her know that this is not, this situation or whatever, this situation, here it is. It's like this. What I'm trying to tell her is, the same God that created this body and the same God created this world is able, if we acknowledge him and look towards him, to change conditions in our lives. He has the power to do it. And he does not need the help of mankind. He does not need the help of mankind. In other words, he overrides the position of mankind. When mankind tells you, oh no, you know, that's the way it's going to be, and that's the way you got to live with it. Amen? But in my radical thinking, it drives me to a position of prayer to be able to touch the throne of God and say, Lord, this is my situation. This is where I'm at. And it drives others to pray in the same direction, and we begin to pray, and results start to take place. Because we serve a God that has all power and has all authority. And so when she heard what I had to say, you know what she really, you know, she almost said, of course, pray for me. That radicalism got her thinking. That radicalism came to her mind, and she thought, you know, I mean, she hasn't been to one of our churches yet, and I perceive that she will come. But the thing is that what type of message are we giving people? What are we taking to the people? Are we taking to them a message of hope? A message of power? A message filled with the Spirit and the power of God? The power of the blood? What are we taking to them? What are we taking to them? What type of radicalism are we bringing them? Are we giving them a negative position of radicalism? Where if they don't follow what we say, they're going to hell? Amen? Are we bringing a message of power, of authority? Something that's evident within our lives. Something that's very, very real and very... See, I serve a very real God. That's the first important thing. I'm not serving an icon. or something that's stuck up on a wall. I serve a God that's real. So I don't understand why people want to go through their religious ceremonies and not get the fullness out of what God has to offer. I want the fullness of what heaven has to offer. Because you know why I want the fullness of what heaven has to offer? Because the earth cannot give me anything. You know, people say, you know, people ask the question and say, well, if Jesus was God, if he was God, why did he pray? Ain't that a good question? That's the first thing a Trinitarian would ask me. Say, if Jesus was God, why did he pray? Well, see, Jesus prayed because he was God. That's why he prayed. He prayed because he was God. Because there was nothing on this earth in his surroundings that could heal. It had to come from heaven. It had to come from heaven. It was not there. It was not visibly there. It was not physically there. It was not spiritually there. Whatever the earth needed had to come from heaven. And so Jesus, scripturally, according to the word of God, is our greatest example of prayer. He went and found places to pray. And after he prayed, he came down and performed signs, wonders, and miracles. He prayed because he was God. Because there was no power in the flesh. See, there's no power in this. There's no power in that. And so he had to have the pulsating movement of the Spirit of God as it transformed and went through his body. And therefore, the Bible says that he could go and touch, heal everyone. He could heal the multitudes, and he can multiply the fish and the loaves because he was God. That's what that proved his position of God, because there was no power in the flesh. And that's why he would never allow a man in the flesh to worship him. He never accepted worship. Don't bow to worship. Because why? Because once you start bowing and worshiping the things that you see, you're not worshiping God. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the Lord rejected worship. Don't worship. Don't worship because you worship in the flesh. There ain't no power in that flesh. He told the disciples to go and believe in him for the very work's sake. For the things that you've seen and the things that I brought forth. Because why? He was showing his position of radicalism upon the face of the earth. Because he was making a difference. Don't you think you can make a difference? You can make a difference. You can make a difference if you give up the persuasion of this life. Let me tell you something. Let me preach to you. Your occupation, whatever you do in life, is not going to make a difference. The only thing it's going to do is give you a retirement check. It's not going to save a soul. In fact, it's not even going to save your soul. Now, what am I saying? I'm not talking about, we all have jobs. We all go to work. But where is the importance of our lives? Where is it based on? Is it based on who I am? What I am? How the society sees me? I want the society to see me as a child of God. I want them to see, man, I want them to see the Holy Ghost all over me. Praise God. That's what I want them to see. Because that's the most important thing. You know, like John the Baptist, like John the Baptist said when Jesus came on the scene, John the Baptist said, listen, I've got to decrease. I've got to decrease. Let me get out the way. My part in what I'm supposed to do is finished. Amen. So all of a sudden he said, I must decrease because the message and what he has to bring forth must increase. And he was realizing that even in his radicalism, he could not make the changes and bring the diversity that only the presence of God could. And now we're standing here filled with the Holy Ghost. We say we are. Am I right? Oh, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, you know, when I hear that, I ask the question, well, does the Holy Ghost have you? Amen. What are you doing with the power of God? What are you doing with it? Or are you just being a good UPC member? I don't want to be a UPC member. I want to be a child of God. I don't want to be labeled to just the verbal position of an organization. I want to be part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. I don't care if the world sees me to be radical. I don't care about that. Why should I care? When I was in the world didn't care about me. The world didn't care about me when I was out there. When I got kicked to the curb, the world didn't come and pick me up. The world didn't come and put the pieces together in my life. Jesus came and said, son, let's go. Get up. I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new situation. It's the power of God unto salvation. Am I right? Huh? After all those years, I'm still living for God. I'm still trying to live for God. I'm still trying to put in the effort to live for God. I understand the importance of living for God. But you know what? Some of us who had the Holy Ghost for some time, we don't understand the importance of it. Because sometimes we just have a label of the church that we go to. I mean, hey, when am I supposed to be a cereal brand? Kellogg? Post Toasty? You can do that with religion as well. Huh? Do I believe in the power of the organization? As long as the power, yes, I do. As long as the organization and the power of the organization follows the power of Christ, of course I do. That's what it's all about. Follow him. I follow you as you follow Christ. But you know, it's like this. We live in a day and a time where it's not time to just mold in. It's time to be radical. It's time to make a difference. And when I say radical, I'm not saying being ignorant. I'm not talking about being ignorant. I'm not talking about going to your office and creating, that's ignorance. We don't need to shame the name of Jesus. We need to lift up the name of Jesus. We need to be productive. Am I right? We need to be whatever God wants us to be in the midst of it. We need to be dependable. Praise God. We need to be all of that. I believe in that. I believe in being dependable. I believe in being productive. I believe that we need to be everything that God wants us to be because we bear the name of Jesus Christ. And because we bear that name, we need to be everything that we need to be. But there's a radical side. That sometimes when a guy or someone we're working with gets in a problem, and they need to hear something. I've seen people just tell people, well, just come to church on Sunday. Will that make a difference? Sometimes it won't. Sometimes I'm winning souls because I give invitations. No. I'm winning souls because I live a radical lifestyle. And by me living a radical lifestyle, the power of God's Spirit is being evident in my life. In other words, people see things in your life that no one else sees. They see a spirit about you. You know, it was years ago. I never forget it. I had prayed. My mother had died in 1987. I have never talked about this much. But my mother died in 1987. And I had the Holy Ghost in for a number of years. And I had not been home. And of course, I went home very twisted and very broken because of the death of my mother. And when I got home, there was a lot of territory to cover. And I found myself trying to bring back the pieces that I had allowed to fall over the years. And I got a chance to witness to my uncle. And I told my uncle about, in a radical position, about the importance of being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. And he sat there in my grandmother's house and his eyes were just like bulging. And my grandmother, of course, was a bit senile. And she listened. But, of course, I believe many years ago, because she was a Methodist, she was an old Methodist, I believe that she had already experienced the power of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so she was all with what I was saying to my uncle. And so we went on and we buried my mother. And I had the opportunity to preach at my mother's funeral. But it was rewarding. Because on that pulpit, I got an opportunity to share that radicalism in my spirit. Because I got an opportunity to tell people the importance of salvation. I told them about how great my mother was in my own way, how I felt about her. But then I twisted it and I turned it around and I took it and I pointed it towards them. I said, but we can't speak for her now. But you're still living. And they looked at me, and everyone was just weeping. It was such a power of God that fell in that. The Catholic priest that came, that was supposed to preach the funeral, that couldn't preach it because he told my sister, I didn't know your mother, so I really, you know. And so my sister said, it's fine. My brother will preach it. The man walked up to me at the end of the funeral service and he shook my hand. He had tears in his eyes, tears just rolling down his eyes. And he said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Years later, my sister told me that priest, every time she sees him, he asks about me. Because there's something about the radicalism of the power of the Spirit of God. There's something that we have that's on the inside of us that's given us through the power of the blood and the Holy Ghost that makes us different from anyone else. And as you exercise that in your relationship with God, you will experience that position of radicalism. And others will experience it as well. They experience it through you. And I remember, and then of course naturally, I came back home and, my grandmother was still living and it was a pretty hard ordeal for her. And then I just began to pray. And I said, Lord, I really want to get home one more time before my grandmother died. Because she was a very important part of my life. And I think it was about 2.5 years later, the Lord opened the doors in such a miraculous way. And I went back home. And I never forget, my grandmother was in her mid-80s, late 80s. And I spent a night, or I spent a day or a night at her house. And I never forget that day, that night and that day at her house, because of the fact is it brought back all the memories that I had staying at my grandmother's house as a little boy. And I prayed and I wept and I cried because I was so thankful for that day. I was so thankful for that day, because I realized that this was probably the last day that I would ever have to share that with my grandmother. And I never forget that particular afternoon. I walked out and I was on the porch, and she was on the porch, and she looked at me. She was really senile then. Then all of a sudden, a glow of the power of God's Spirit came over her, and she stood up and she looked at me, and she said, "Son, you are a child of God." Oh my God, you are a child of God. You have no guile, no mishaps or anything within you. God has blessed you. It was just amazing when she said it to me, because I'll be honest with you, it empowered me. It was an administration of a blessing that she passed to me. Then of course I came back home again, thankful for that particular time. And of course, I think it was about 8 or 9 months later, my grandmother died. And the Lord really ministered to me. He comforted me in that. There is something great about the God that we serve. And the world needs to see the greatness of our God. The world needs to feel the greatness of our God. Let me tell you something, and let me minister to some of y'all. Do you know why you're here at church today? I think some come for different reasons. You're here at church today because Jesus loves you. It's not your love for God that has brought you here. It's his love that has brought you here. It's his love. Whether you have the Holy Ghost or don't have the Holy Ghost, it is his love that has brought you here. It's his love that has made the pathway. It is his love that allowed you to hear whatever you hear in the house of God. It's not because of what you've done, and it'll never be because of what we do. It's only because of God's grace and his mercy. What am I trying to say? I'm really trying to say that as being a soldier of the cross, can the world see too much of Jesus? Can the world see too much? I feel as though the world is seeing too little of Jesus. I really do. I really believe that the world is seeing too little. And I believe that sometimes that we don't realize the power that we have. As the Lord said about John the Baptist, he says, until now. He says, not until now. He says, the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That radicalism. The violent take it by force. Sometimes we don't get enough in our spirit to really become radical. Sometimes we don't get enough in our spirit to become radical in our prayers. Sometimes we don't have enough in our spirit to really emphasize our real need for God and say, "Lord, this is what I really need." We're not radical enough. And so therefore, in your lack of radicalism, you produce a miracle that God wants to bring forth. Our children are not touched. You know why? Because the parents are not radical enough about God. Jesus is everything. Do you hear me, y'all? Jesus is everything. This world has nothing compared to what Jesus can offer your life. Jesus is everything. Hallelujah. Remember, the scripture says that at the day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. It doesn't matter what it is, who it is, what it looks like, what the problem is. It will confess that Jesus is Lord. If you can have that opportunity to confess that Jesus is Lord right now in your life, you need to be radical enough to take advantage of it. You need to go forward. You need to realize you need to offset this world, because this world is a dying world. But of course, naturally, let me go another place before I close. When we look at Ezekiel chapter 28, it talks about the devil. Am I right? Listen to me, young folks. It talks about the devil. And it talks about the merchandise of Satan. Am I right? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's look at it. I got this on my mind. And I want to close with this thought. And in verse 12 it says, Ezekiel 28 verse 12, "Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tarsus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum of the full wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been," referring to Satan, "thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the tapois, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabernacle." That means he was a worshiper. This was the things that he was adorned with. This was his beauty, his majesty, the way God had created him. "And the pipes that prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub, thou covereth that covereth, and I have set thee so." Who set him that way? The Lord had set him so. "Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. But by the multitude of what? Of thy merchandise. By the multitude of all what God had gave him and blessed him, by the multitude of his merchandise, thou have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast said, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the old covering chair from the midst of the stones of fire." Satan is a defeated foe. But even though he's a defeated foe, he still holds his beauty. And all y'all young folks, and even and some of, and many of y'all grown folks, his beauty still lingers. Don't believe the hype. He is not red and ugly with a long tail and a pitchfork. He is a deceiver. He makes this world look very good to you. He makes this world look very invincible to you, because he wants you to mingle in the midst of this world. And as you mingle with this world, and as you play with this world, you'll find the emptiness of this world. And it's empty. The more beauty that you find that Satan provides, the more empty it becomes. But the more trapped you become. Because the only thing that you begin to do is look for more of the world. All them church folks is crazy. They're wrapped. They ain't got good sense. You know why I ain't got good sense? Because I got something that feels good to my soul. Yes, I'm a radical for God. I'm a fanatic for Jesus. Because my soul is free. But why the devil takes you and wraps you in bondage? Flips you over about 3 or 4 times. Robs you of your experience with God. That's what he wants to do. To rob you of your experience with God. And place you out there in the midst of the world and that the world can laugh at you. That the world can laugh at you. Oh, they were saved one time. What the Bible says, that if we fall, what happens? We become trodden under the foot of men. Men step on you. How do they step on you? They ignore everything that you say. You know why they ignore everything that you say? Because you couldn't make it. You couldn't do it. They ignore it. They trodden under the foot of men. They have no respect for what you have to say. But see, a person that's radical, they got to listen to him. Because he's in power. Am I right? He's in power. He's talking about something they don't understand or something they don't know. What in the world's wrong with this man? How can a God, how can somebody heal? How can somebody change a life? How can the Lord take them off drugs? How can the Lord release them from alcohol? How can the Lord do all these things? How can the Lord? We got AA programs. We got all kind of programs. We got programs to help people to try to become get off being a homosexual and all that. But yet they talk about this radical position through the power of the blood and through the power of the Holy Ghost that transforms and changes a person's life. Tell me, y'all, why did we go through this? Because it works. But the devil, of course, naturally, he shines the light. I look good, don't I? He is empty as anything. He is as shallow as the day is long. And his object is to get anybody's attention who'll give it to him. He doesn't care how he gives it to you. He doesn't care. Doesn't mean much to him. Because he doesn't, you have to understand, the devil doesn't love you. He hates you. He hates you because you are a potential child of God. He hates you. He hates. Don't you understand that the devil has done this because he hates humanity. He wants to destroy humanity. Now, why do we, do you literally mingle with, why do we mingle up with people that, to someone that actually hates us? He hates you. He doesn't love you. Has no love for you at all. His object is to take your life and destroy it. Oh, no. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just too bad. Something about darkness. You know, I got a friend of mine that works with me, been working with me. Me and him been around each other for 35 years. And I watch him. And he lives in so much darkness. The older he gets, he's like 53. The older he gets, the darker his life becomes. He can't even make a sound decision. Every decision that he makes works against him. Because he lives in darkness. And every time the devil shines his light, what does the world do? They go for it. They go for it. They go for it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Listen, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is not talking about the brand of UPC. Am I being clear? See, I want to be in a church that I want to be in a church that can overtake the gates of hell. I don't need to be in a church that just goes along with I want, in other words, see, he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So no matter how much the devil comes against us, no matter how much he brings, whatever he brings against us, I want to be in that church. I want to be in the church of a living God and not a dead God. I don't want God to be dead to my mind. I don't want the Lord to be dead to my voice as I pray. I don't want the Lord to be dead to my spirit. If the Lord is dead to your mind, to your voice, and to your spirit, then you need to be refilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to be revamped with the power of the blood. I need a God that when I get in the corner and I say Jesus, his appearance comes. I can feel his presence. I can experience his presence. And I can get in his presence and be just as radical and indifferent as I want to be, because I need him to do something wonderfully and powerfully in my life. But you can't do that if you don't have a relationship with God. You can't do that if you're just being a regular person from day to day. Regular people don't have a relationship with God. They don't look to build a relationship with God. They only go to God when they need something. When things go wrong, I need to get in the presence of God. And sometimes I need to shake, rattle, and roll. I need your presence. I need your attention. That's the type of God I need. I need a God that moves in such a radical way that men don't understand. If we're not living like that, then we're living short. If we're not living where God can make our decisions or transform our decisions, where we're just living in our own decisions and we're following them, you're in trouble. I'm going to tell you something. You're in trouble. If you come up with a plan and you ask God to bless your plan, you are in trouble. I am telling you something. You are in spiritual trouble. Because when I come up with a plan, and I do come up with plans, first of all, I bring the plan before the throne of God to see whether or not it's his will. Is this a part of your will for me, Lord? Do you really want me to do this? My flesh says yes. The Lord might say, no, I don't think you need to. Am I willing to alter that? Oh, I got to go forward. Listen, if you go forward because the flesh tells you to go forward, you know what you just giving into? You're giving into the ray of Satan. The ray of Satan. And then when something comes up, when a situation comes up empty, and you know what makes it so bad, the devil can lead us into things and direct us into things that we won't understand that we were directed by him for years to come. Let me tell you something. Satan does not care how long it takes you to backslide. He'll wait 30 years to get you to deny God. This is why you have to live for God every day. Every day. Let's stay. You are soldiers of the cross because of the power of the blood of Jesus. It was not your doing. You didn't do it. You know, some people say, well, you know, I used to be a Baptist and I decided to go to the United Pentecostal Church.
Well, you just didn't decide to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You had to repent. Because if you didn't repent, you would have never received the Holy Ghost. Am I right? Now, there's been a whole lot of people that have been baptized in Jesus' name or went down in the water. They haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, but they've been down in the water in Jesus' name that have not repented. I'm going to say it like it is. Because water baptism means just what it says. Water baptism means full immersion. Am I right? And the only way to be baptized is that you need to repent. Heartfelt repentance before the throne of God. Not before man, but before the throne of God. And then you're baptized. But if you just go through it for a position of ritual, well, I need it. I'm just going to follow the book and do what they say. Oh, you missed the point. You're lost. You're still lost. Some people really believe, well, I did what the Bible said for me to do. And they really believe that they're saved. And they're not saved. They're not saved. They're not saved. Because the Bible tells us that baptism shows a good conscience towards God. It's something that takes place on the inside. Inside a person's mind, in his spirit. Don't just follow it because you just, well, I did what the book said. I'm dealing with some people out there now that were baptized in Jesus' name. A few of them has been baptized in Jesus' name, but all they did was just follow what the book said. They have no relationship with God. I hope I'm touching home. Because you just got baptized because you think, well, you know, if you got baptized and impressed me, you still baptized wrong. Or it didn't impress anybody. I don't know why I'm on this right now. But what I'm trying to emphasize is God means business about salvation. And you know what? It's time for the church to mean business about God's salvation. Your life is not your own. So why do you keep living your own life? Why do you keep living the way you want to live? Do I make sense? Am I talking to somebody? Why do you keep living the way you want to live? You go out and come like you want to go and do what you want to do. Why do you do that? Your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. Praise God. That's the reality of it. And God, of course, will hold you responsible. Just like if you went to the store and you bought something and you walked out the store with it and the guy ran out the store and said, listen, you need to put that back in the store. He said, hold it. I paid for this. This belongs to me. You see the receipt? See, Jesus got a receipt. Amen. I want you to think about it. I don't want you to think long now. Y'all was patient with me. Y'all thought long enough. Was you bought with a price? Why you got your hands on your head? Don't know, do you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence today. We thank you for the Holy Ghost today. We thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be soldiers of the cross today. We thank you, Lamb of God, for the truth of the Word of God. We pray that you would strengthen and undergird our young people. Direct them and guide them in the right way today. Help them, God. Undergird them. Touch those, Lord God. Touch the sincere hearts and touch the unsincere hearts in this place today. Give that unsincere individual an opportunity, God. I pray in the name of Jesus today. Hallelujah. Come on, young people, let's pray. Come on, y'all, raise your hands. Come on. Come on. Let's not go just through the preliminaries. Manuel, let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You need the presence of God in your life. Hallelujah. He loves you. He died for you, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Don't ignore him. Worship him. Acknowledge him. Give him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Let him refill your spirit. Let him touch you. Let him strengthen and undergird you. Let him protect your soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bind us together with cords of love and your mercy and your strength. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give Lord a hand, pray. I want so many of us to build a daily attitude towards service to God. What am I trying to say? Some of us have been serving ourselves for so long that we trip at times to serve God. We're so involved with our daily schedules that we don't stop to pray. We don't stop to talk to God. We just pray when we think we need to pray. Listen, we sang that Jesus is the center of our joy. Well, unless Jesus is there, you really don't have any joy, do you? See, you know, it comes to a point when you walk with the Lord that just thinking about Him gives you joy. Just knowing that He's there. Man, you know, sometimes I think, Lord, you know, And sometimes I'd be going through some difficult situations. But then when I realized that the Lord is just there, I thought, well, it's God. I ain't in this by myself. Hallelujah. It's a good feeling to know that I ain't in it by myself. Even though I feel as though at that particular time I'm alone. But the Lord lets me know, you're not alone. I know where you are. Got to start living for God to experience God. And stop just living for a brand name. The Lord's not coming back for a brand name church. He's coming back for the church. That's not what He's coming back for. He's not coming back for a brand name. If anybody told you that, if you was at a different church, and you just think, if y'all believe the same thing, we know the same thing, so on and so forth, God is not coming back for a brand name church. If you believe that, you don't know the book. He's not coming back for that. He's coming back for people that have made themselves ready. And you make yourself ready on a daily position of your service to God. If you came here to serve yourself, you came for the wrong reason. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you came to serve yourself and you came believing that God will give you something that you want for yourself, you came for the wrong reason. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. You could have got it out there anyway. The devil will give it to you. The devil will give you something faster for yourself than the church will. The devil will give it to you. You know why? Because he wants to keep you. He'll give it to you. Here, take it. But if you go up there among these people, you might commit your life. I'm holding, you know why I'm holding up everybody right now? Because there's some people that can't make up their mind.
I could feel in the spirit. I'm serious. I mean serious business about serving God. I'm not joking. So it's no use of being about around me if you ain't serious. Do I make sense? I mean, I'm serious business. I don't know nothing else to do but to serve God. That's all I know. I've been to college. I've educated. I don't know anything else to do. All I know is serve God. I mean, I am serious. All the years I worked as an accountant, whatever, that means nothing to me. That's gone. That means nothing to me. Nothing. It's like Paul said, it's all done. All gone. Means nothing. Because the most important thing in my life is my service to God. Now, if you're not on the same wavelength with me, I feel sorry for you. Because it's hard for me to minister to you. Because you don't understand what I'm saying. You can't understand what I'm saying. Because you don't feel the God that I feel. You don't feel the importance of serving Him the way I feel important. Because your agenda is important. What you want to do in life is important to you. But what you want to do in life might not be important to God. And it's not serving God what you want to do. It's only important to you. And you, like I'm telling you, you don't have to come here to hold your own agenda. Am I trying to put somebody out? No. I just want to make it plain that in here, we mean business. When you step up in here, we mean business. You can't hide from us. Hallelujah. You can't hide from us. Greet each other in Jesus' name.